Hello,
Yo!
hello. Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Hey, it's Prime Crime Podcast here. We got Laura, my brother Lee.
Yo.
Yo. So what'd you do today? Anything interesting?
Not a damn thing. It's raining. I didn't even clean. All I did was just eat coffee and cook or drink coffee and eat cookies and just chill.
Sounds like a fucking awesome day, though.
It's not bad. It's like the first day off I've had in like, I guess 7 days.
Oh, damn.
What was your day?
Good. I got my heart ripped out and stomped on today. That was pretty rough. Supernatural finale. Won't give anything away, but it was emotional. There wasn't a dry eye in the house. We'll say that.
Wow.
And,
Season 45, right?
Season 45, they've been on there since 1968, so it was kind of hard for me to say goodbye to them.
I bet
I feel
it's
like I've
tough.
known them my whole life,
Dean and Sam.
Oh, I tell you,
Good
man,
guys.
it was rough. It was good. I feel like it was exactly what they needed to do, so I was really happy with that. But just openly, unapologetically sobbing, and that kind of led us to the new Animaniacs on Hulu, which is just fucking awesome as well.
Is it good?
It's very good. It's modern. It's awesome. You need to check it out. It's really good. It's definitely I think it was
Is
made for us, like the 80s babies, 90s kids, Like it's
interesting.
definitely got that feel, like tongue in cheek, I don't know.
Is
It's good.
Spielberg involved?
Yes, heavily executive producer. He was actually in the first episode.
Count me in.
Dude, it's awesome. It's awesome.
Love me some Spielberg.
I know, right? And we used to watch that all the time when we were little. It was a Animaniacs, so. And they got Pinky and the Brain back on there. Oh my gosh. I can't even.
Oh, zany to the max.
Zany to the max. All right. So I guess today we're going to talk about Eileen Wuornos.
Where-nos,
Wuornos.
Aileen.
Aileen Wuornos. Anyway, we got Eileen here. This is kind of a difficult story, so for those of you who are sensitive to sexual assault or anything of that nature, just maybe this is not the one for you because there is a lot of that. Also, this is our first maiden episode. Whoop, whoop.
Yeah, baby.
So I know we probably have some family members listening, which is awesome. However, if you do not want to hear me and Lee discuss sensitive subjects and cuss profusely, maybe
Oh,
this
man.
isn't the
I've got
show for
such a
you.
dirty fucking mouth. It's
I
ridiculous.
have a dirty mouth too, so if that's not your thing, also. So let's get started here, if that's all right. All
Absolutely.
right, let's dig in. This is a rough one. So Eileen Carol Wuornos was born on February 29th, 1956, in Troy, Michigan, to parents Leo Dale Pittman and Diane Wuornos. So, right from the start, Lee, Eileen had it rough. Her father had psychopathic tendencies and a history of violence. And we talked about this earlier, the cat thing, right? Okay. So
Yeah.
we have a difference of opinion on this, I feel like. So his idea of fun is rumored to be tying two cats' tails together and throwing them over a clothesline to fight it out. Now, you said to the other day that's impossible.
Well, okay, I've kind of changed my stance on this opinion.
Oh, okay.
I've heard of this done before, not just in the Eileen Wuornos case. So apparently this is a normal trend that's going on. It's just like a TikTok thing. It's like planking. It's a lot more common than you think.
What's planking?
Planking?
Like exercise planking?
No, it's where you just take a picture of yourself in random places where you're just laying face down.
Oh, okay. The whole
It's like a trend.
gotcha, yeah. Kind of like laying out in the rain.
Yeah,
See,
I
we're
think.
older millennials, and I'm on TikTok. I love it. You're not into TikTok too much though, right?
I am way, I'm not that, I can't, nope, too
Nope. See,
old.
3 years older, and I love it. I can't help it. So, okay, I think it is feasible that he could have tied the cat's tails together. Anyway, so that's just something about the her dad's character.
It is totally feasible. And that sucks, like, to see that, to hear that.
Can you imagine?
I can't even imagine. He would also bring his friends to rape her. Well, so he's done worse things.
That was, well, Grandpa did that. This is her dad still.
And okay, I'm sorry. I'm jumping ahead.
No, you're good. And Leo, her dad, he was diagnosed with schizophrenia. He was arrested for the sexual molestation of a 7-year-old. Sexual molestation, I just call it rape because that's what it is. He was a real fucker. He hung himself in prison, and she never met him, which is probably for the best. You know, her mother, she became a mom at 15 when she had Eileen's brother Keith, who Eileen was pretty close to. But Diane wanted a different life and did involve her children. So Diane dropped Eileen and Keith off at her parents' house, and it just got worse from there. It was not
good. It definitely didn't help.
It didn't help anything. It wasn't a rescue type situation. It was the beginning of horror for her. In 1960, Eileen was 4. She was officially adopted by her grandparents, and Keith and Eileen were led to believe that her grandparents, who were Lori and Britta Warnos, they were led to believe that was their biological parents, which never works out. Ted Bundy, and who did you say?
Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson. So I guess sometimes it works out, but I still think he's a little nutty, so...
Oh my gosh, he's the nuttiest.
He's the nuttiest in the best way possible.
He's such an amazing classic actor.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. So, I mean, I guess sometimes it works out. But do what?
The Departed. Oh, no. Just so many great movies that he's in.
So many. He's amazing. That when he was like, if you take another picture of my kids, I'll fucking kill you. Paparazzi. I was like, okay,
yeah, dude. Badass. And then another day, he'll be, oh, if you got your camera, start snapping.
You never know what you're going to get with old Jack there. No. Like.
Different Jack every day.
Different Jack, so, yeah.
Now he spends his time eating sandwiches on yachts, which is pretty nice.
That sounds good. I could get behind that.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Eileen's grandma, she was an unemployed, she was severe alcoholic. She did give some loving attention to Eileen, which was probably the first time she had known such attention. Her grandfather, mm-hmm. however, was a fucking piece of shit.
Yeah.
In 1967, when Eileen was 11 years old, in addition to severe physical abuse where she was beaten with a belt face down naked, her grandfather... Her brother, too. This was both of them. When she was 11, he started raping her physically, along with physically abusing her. He'd also invite his buddies over. To rape Eileen as well. So, real piece of shit.
So sad.
It's so sad. She, right from the get-go, I mean, she just
never had a chance.
Never really had a chance. And we'll get through that and explain kind of why I think that this happened, you know. So we'll get there.
Yeah.
So soon after the sexual started happening, Eileen started getting involved with the boys at school. She would, prostitute is not something that we want to say anymore. Sex work, I guess, but when you're 11.
She would trade favors such as showing boobies and stuff like that for cigarettes and candy and stuff like that at a very young age.
Loose change.
She knew that, you know, this was a way for her to make money and attention. And so she learned that way too young, and she went with it, which she shouldn't have, and all that.
Right. But I mean, then again, who's going to tell her what's right or wrong in her life?
That's all she knows.
So that's really all she knows. She knew it. It kind of got her some attention, and whether it be negative or positive, it was mostly negative. It was some sort of attention from her peers, which she desperately craved.
Sure.
I read this, and this just kind of broke my heart a little bit. And I don't want to say that we're like this poor, poor woman, but we kind of are in a way. I mean, she did murder 7 people. We got to remember that. But,
yes.
You know, we're just talking early life, so we're just going to say what it is here. I mean,
it is what it is.
So one time she spent money that she had made, you know, doing her thing on some alcohol and threw a party at her own house. Some boys that she had invited kicked her out of her own house and locked the door. Eileen watched her party from the window outside. So,
I didn't know that. That's terrible.
Heartbreaking. Like, this poor girl. My God.
Not only are you locked out of your own house,
you gotta watch it from the outside. And you bought the booze. No, that's it.
Unbelievable. That's a party foul.
That's a party foul. I was just about to say that. Big time. Few years later, 1970, she's 14.
Oh, wait.
What's wrong?
I gotta add in this last bit.
Please do.
Okay. Whenever she was prostituting herself, she had a nickname in school.
What was it?
Cigarette pig.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that.
Yep.
Oh.
Which was my nickname in middle school.
Right. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, good times. Great old.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, continue.
Definitely, I'm sorry. No, that was definitely worth it. Worth the pause. So, back to, okay, this is kind of serious now. So at age 14 in 1970, Eileen becomes pregnant. And it was later found,
This is the catalyst where everything, I mean, obviously nothing's going great now, but this is the time where this is where it all starts, I think.
I think this is definitely a turning point. And she's 14. It was later determined that her father's friend, her grandfather's friend her grandfather's friend was the father. So she was sent to a group home for unwed mothers, but she gave birth to a healthy baby boy who was immediately given up and closed in adoption. He has never been found. Thank God for that kid. I can't imagine. Can you imagine, like, if they found out that he was, at the time, her son, they would have just relentlessly. I mean, I'm glad that he got out and everything. That's, like, the one shining light. And this whole thing is, like, hopefully he's doing okay, you know?
For real. Like, hopefully he's, if he does, God forbid, you know, have schizophrenia. I know it's hereditary. But, yeah, I pray to God that he's okay and he's doing good and he's got support and stuff that his mom did.
Yeah, for sure. So after she had her son and she returned from the group home, she returned back to her grandparents. But soon after that, her grandmother died from liver failure. No surprise, you know, she was a real bad alcoholic. And soon after that, at age 15, old grandpa just decided didn't want her around anymore and kicked her out of the house. When she first left the house, she lived in the woods at 15.
Yeah.
And this is in Michigan, so that sucks.
Winters are tough.
Yeah.
Sometimes she would have a blanket, sometimes she wouldn't, sometimes she'd have a car. She was really lucky, she'd have an abandoned car or something like that. Crazy. But she was legit OG homeless.
Yeah, like for real homeless. I can't imagine, man. I don't know. It's rough.
Sad.
It's very sad. So at the same age later that year, she hit the road. She started hitchhiking and doing sex work to make it to Colorado. She kind of got involved in a biker gang for a little bit. You know, normal 15-year-old shit.
Who hasn't
been there? You know, lots of petty theft, bar fights. She mostly slept in the woods again in abandoned cars. Like I said, again, cold in Colorado as well.
Ooh, yeah.
But we know where she Windy ends up, too. So.
Yeah.
So she's
sunny old Florida.
Oh. You think if we ever get any listeners from, I'm going to rip Florida apart. I'm just going to forewarn that.
Oh my gosh. No, we love Florida.
We love our Florida people.
We've got so many fans down in Florida.
Florida.
We can't wait to go see you guys whenever we go on tour.
Right. Florida. Good. salt of the earth, Florida. Okay.
Miami. Oh.
In Bonino, I'm Miami. I don't know what that means. Does that mean like "Welcome to Miami"? I just know it because it's a Will Smith song. Okay.
I don't know. It's provocative. It gets the people going.
It's slightly dirty for Will Smith.
Mm-hmm.
So around this,
oh yeah,
yeah. Around this time, old Eileen is turning roughly 6 or 7 Johns a day for about 30 minutes. Well, mm-hmm. I don't know if it's 30 minutes. $30 per session. Mm. 30 minutes.
It's usually about 30 that seconds.
Sounds like a long time.
But, like, sometimes she would, I mean, she would take what she could get. Sometimes she would get 20. Sometimes she'd get 100. Sometimes she'd get, like, $5.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
She had, well, obviously had no self-esteem, really. And I don't want to say that just because she was a sex worker, she had no self-esteem, but she's 15 years old, and you know what I mean.
She doesn't even know what self-worth means.
Exactly. Self-worth, you know, just pride, it's all gone.
It's been taken away from her.
Yeah, or it might have never even existed. Who knows with her. But by 1976, she was 20. She's ready for warmer weather and new opportunities, I put here. So she hitchhiked and sex worked her way to Florida.
Damn, that's a long way.
That is a long. I didn't even think about that. That is a long damn way.
I wonder how long it took.
I don't know. But you're right. That is a long way. I didn't think about that. But Florida, you know, because nothing crazy ever happens in Florida.
It's the best place in the world.
Best place in the world. So soon after moving to Florida, Eileen actually met her future husband. And okay, this is the weirdest sentence. And president of the yacht club.
Yeah, let's
Kratz. Oh gosh,
you can't forget that
he's president of the yacht club. Very important man, apparently. He was a wealthy 60-year-old man. The marriage was short-lived after he slapped her with a restraining order. She hit him with his cane, with his own cane. So she was not yacht club material, that Eileen.
No, that's breaking some certain stipulations. Yeah, I was going to say something about him.
I don't know. I didn't really dig too much into him. I mean, I'm sure he wanted, what, a trophy wife, but Eileen, I don't know if that was what you'd call
her. Back then, she was okay.
And I'm not saying she was like an ugly person or anything. She just had rough life, like hard miles on her.
Yeah.
Hard miles. And if you've seen, look, you know,
some rings around the tree.
Rings around the tree for sure.
But I was gonna say something.
Well,
it's
okay. At this time, Eileen's brother, who she was very close to, Keith, he passed away from esophageal cancer. And at this point, Eileen was truly alone, she felt. She would, you know, kind of bounce from relationship to relationship. And actually, when she was 22 in 1978, she broke up with a boyfriend. And it ended with her trying to kill herself by shooting herself in the stomach. He obviously survived to live on and kill. So, wow.
Okay, so that's like the most pain that a human can possibly go through.
Is a shot in the stomach.
Yeah. Slowly bleed to death.
I don't.
Oh my god! Like, you know, whenever your stomach hurts real bad, like you just ate like a whole buffalo chicken cheese pizza.
Yeah,
that's like that. Oh man, I can't even imagine.
It's just such a crazy. I don't want to say crazy. That's a terrible word for me to use, but such a strange impulse. Like, I'm gonna kill myself by shooting myself in the stomach. It's like, well, that's probably not gonna work, but it's gonna be hella painful. Like, what are you doing? You know.
I don't know. Maybe she wants the pain. Maybe she feels like she deserves it.
No, that's a good point. That's a good point. In 86, she met Ty. She met Tyria Moore.
Yay! Love at first sight.
Daytona Beach gay bar, and Eileen was head over heels for Ty. We're gonna call her Ty because she goes by Ty, and I don't like Tyria.
She, to describe her. Okay, she does look just like Christina Ricci.
Yes, exactly. Exactly like Christina Ricci.
No, man. She belongs under a bridge where she belongs.
We're going to come to find out later that she was not exactly the love interest that Eileen was led to believe or believed that she was.
Not so much.
She was not the nicest. So they moved around a lot. They were jumping from motel to motel. They'd go back to the trusty woods sometimes. And, you know, despite time not...
That's the great thing about being homeless. Just go live in the woods. The woods would be your home.
The woods.
Dr. Stephen Brule. If you don't have a home, just go in the woods. The woods will be your home.
Oh, gosh. So, it's a mess, man. And Ty didn't really agree with Eileen's, you know, reckless occupation of the hitchhiking and picking up men. But she continued to do it because she believed that Ty would leave her if she didn't have money. And so she would make a few hundred bucks a week doing sex work alongside the highway.
I think Ty would die if she stopped making money, because Ty is pretty much like a useless human being.
I didn't find anything like, as to what she did during this time.
Not a goddamn thing.
So
all she's doing is like, we need money, I'm starving. And then she's like, well, I've already killed like five people. Are you sure? And she's like, well,
maybe you need to kill one or two more.
Just a couple. I'm hungry.
It's awful. It's terrible.
Bad relationship. Yes.
But for her, it was everything. She loved her for, like, just like crazy.
She did. She was head over heels.
But on November 30th, 1989, she was picked up by her first victim. He was an electronic store owner. Now, this is where things get crazy. I'm going to say trigger warning, because what I'm about to explain that she testified happened to her with her first victim is pretty rough. In her trial, she's basically said that this guy tied her to the steering wheel, beat her, horribly sodomized her, and then threatened to pour rubbing alcohol into...
No, did it.
He did, and then threatened to pour it into her eyes. So she claims that she managed to break free, grab her pistol, and she shot him 3 times.
Amazing.
So, in my...
She's a hero.
Well, listen now here.
Mi amigo.
In my opinion, I think that might have happened. I think it might have happened the way she said. I saw her on the stand. I saw her talking about it. I think that this one, the first kill, he hurt her and she snapped on the rest. And I'm not justifying her behavior at all. And I'm not victim-shaming at all. I'm just saying I think this is what set her off.
A lot of people believe that the first one was 100% self-defense. And I kind of believe that. But, you know, how she is with her stories.
She goes back and forth with her stories. But he was a sexually disturbed man. He pled guilty. Let's see, wait a minute. In 1957, he broke into a woman's house, grabbed her from behind, fondled her, and tried to rip her clothes off. He pled not guilty by reason of insanity and was charged with an attempt of rape and was sentenced to 4 years in prison. But after a psych eval, he was moved to a mental institution for 10 years. None of this was brought up at her trial. So this guy was not the best guy. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be that way, but he was gross. So,
man, that's weird. Breaking into somebody's house to fondle
and rip their clothes off. And then, God. he was in a mental institution for 10 years for that. They didn't bring anything up.
Institutionalized for 10 years, too. That'll do something to you.
That'll definitely do something to you. So, like I said, this one I think was in self-defense, but the other 6 I'm really not sure about.
We'll never know.
I mean, but we just speculate all day, but her second victim was a 47-year-old construction worker. He was found in June of 1990. He'd been found naked and shot 6 times with a .22 pistol. Now, coming up, one really got to me, one of the victims, and I was, I'll explain when I get to it. Okay.
Okay.
So, started in 1989. It didn't last very long. It was a very short 7 murders, I feel like. So, almost a spree.
It was like a spree, almost.
So, so when they say to her, say about her, she's America's first modern day serial killer, I disagree, but I mean, I'm not an expert.
No, the news, the media really took advantage of this one. Like, just said whatever they wanted and lied. And
absolutely. And to her detriment, for sure, in the trial, the media did not help at all.
No. But she did make good TV.
She did, because, you know, she was wacky and everything. So
wackety schmackety.
So about a week after her second victim, she took a little bit of a break between her first one and her second one. But a week after her second one, 47-year-old construction worker was found. He had been found. Okay, so, excuse me, I'm repeating myself. So 1 week after that, 40-year-old rodeo worker was shot 9 times. Witnesses actually saw Eileen in this guy's car, and she pawned one of his guns. So she's not the
smartest.
If she's a serial killer, she's not very methodical about it.
No.
I don't know.
But towards the end, she starts to show some serial killer type qualities.
She does. She does. So in July of 1990, a vehicle belonging to the 65-year-old victim was found. Eileen left a bloody palm print on the interior door handle. Again, not the best killer. No.
No. That's like a Blue's Clue.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. So, and I... Oh, my goodness. I'm just...
We found the red hall. Yeah. That's the first clue.
We just figured out Blue's Clues. That's really smart. So... Another guy, 50-year-old sausage salesman, was reported missing in July 31st. His body in 1990, his body was found August 4th. He had been shot twice. So this next one threw me for a loop, and I was like, what? So, okay, in September of 1990, a 56-year-old retired U.S. Air Force major, former state child abuse investigator, and former chief of police was found dead. He was fully clothed and shot 9 times in the head and torso. Fully clothed.
Yep.
Others were found naked.
Some were found with just
some
hats on.
Some were found with other things on, but he was fully clothed. So,
which is confusing to me, because how are you going to take off your shirt? You'd have to get naked and then put the hat on. That's weird.
That is weird, but what I'm like... How was he raping you if he was fully clothed? Did you dress him back up again after you shot him, you know, 6 times in the head and torso? So the next victim was in October. So September, October, November. Like, this one's in November of 1991. This one was found naked. He was shot 4 times. He was a police reservist, security guard, and trucker. So... Eileen actually confessed to Ty after she killed her first victim. So Ty knew from the fucking get-go what was going on. Where Eileen was getting, like, her pawn guns, her vehicles that they would drive around these people's vehicles for, you know, a certain period of time. It's crazy. So, you know, and driving around in one of these vehicles, they actually got into a car accident. And but once at a time, law enforcement was hip to the fact they were looking for two women. They had dubbed them the Angels of Death, and that's the media for you there. They when they found out they were looking for women, they were obviously like, "Oh, this is new. This is interesting. Women killers.
Women not so killers. Much.
We've been killing people for a long time.
Absolutely.
Nothing special.
Poisons.
Oh yeah."
Poisoning.
We love our
lots
poisons.
Of poisoning.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, at this point, the witnesses to the car accident, because they fled the scene, because they're in a dead guy's vehicle. So, witnesses were able to provide a description of Eileen and Ty, and at this point, the police already had some of the victim's belongings in pawn shop, and had gotten fingerprints from other vehicles. Since Eileen had a criminal history, her prints were on file. She did not think any of this through. So, finally, On January 9th of 1991, Eileen was arrested at the Last Resort Biker Bar in Volusia County, Florida.
Okay, so in the movie Monster, it's like a sting operation.
Right, and it was, too.
Was it?
A little bit, yeah.
Because I heard that she just passed out in the lawn.
I think she, well, that's definitely a possibility. I didn't dig too deep into that part of it. I was just, I was amused by the fact that the biker bar was called the Last Resort. And she's like, you're screwed. You're done.
I didn't connect that one.
Oh, God. So the next day after they arrested Eileen, they caught up with Ty, who pretty much quickly agreed to turn on Eileen. Real fast. You know, she dropped a dime on her.
Like, so, we got you for accessory to murder. It was her.
And Eileen...
I'm a patsy.
Looks just like Christina Ricci.
Yes. Oh, man.
Spitting image. But, I mean, Eileen loved this woman. She would never have done anything, you know, bad to her. And she yet, you know, she agreed to a confession in exchange for immunity, which she did. So the police made Ty call Eileen in jail and plead for her to confess. And on January 16th, 1991, 3 days later, Eileen confessed to the murders, claiming all had been done in self-defense. I'm not feeling that. I do feel that she had mental illness and she was pretty railroaded by the media. But I do not believe they were all in self-defense. I think she fucking snapped.
Sex work is very, very dangerous.
Yes.
Obviously. It's an occupational hazard. You know, it's not like she was just shopping and, you know, her car broke down, so she had to get a ride or something. But she actively put herself in all of these
several
situations.
Times a day to, I mean, she, you know.
Yeah.
So she, yeah.
It's a mess. I don't know where to draw the line. Who's wrong? Who's right? No one. It's just a horrible tragedy. It's a tragedy.
It is.
It's a downright it damn is tragedy. All around.
And a year later, on January 14th, 1992, Eileen went to trial for the murder of her first victim. There were no mention of his incarcerations for attempted rape at the trial, but they were allowed to introduce evidence related to other crimes in that trial. So, basically, they were able to enter into this trial of her for her murder trial, her past convictions for, like, you know, well, one time she hit a bartender with a cue ball, and she got in, you know, bar fights, and so they brought all that shit into the trial, which I'm not a lawyer, obviously, but that doesn't seem like you can do that. Can you do that?
That's just damaging her character, and that's totally not against. That's against the rules in court. I hope.
I don't know. Somebody tell us, because it just seems like
I stole a hacky sack in third grade, and that's not going to come back on me.
Statute of limitations on the hacky sack for sure. I would imagine.
Yeah. I still feel bad.
Oh, well. You're all right. You made up for it. You're a good guy.
There you go.
That's all that matters. So during her trial, psychiatrists for the defense testified that Eileen was mentally unstable, had a low IQ of 81, which is on the low end of the spectrum, and they agreed that
It's below average.
Well, below
for sure.
Average. And, right around, like, Forrest Gump range, I think. You remember when it's like, your son is right about here. I think that's right about where Eileen is. They did agree that Eileen had borderline personality disorder and antisocial personality behavior. 4 days later, she received her first death sentence. First. So... Mm-hmm. Here we go. We're in June of 92 now. Eileen pled guilty to three of the murders, confessing because she wanted to get right with God, stating in court, quote, I wanted to confess to you that one of the victims did violently rape me, as I've told you, and these others did not. They were only beginning to start. So the first guy did, but the other guys were just going to start to rape her, which take that with what you will.
Yeah, because she's flip-flop on that. Yeah, she has. She said that she lied, and then she said that she lied before, that it was actually true, that, she, you know, it was all self-defense, and then she flip-flopped again. But she is mentally ill, and she has no idea what's going on, and she's not being treated.
No, and you can't even tell at her trial. She was so confused. She just had a look on her face like, what is happening? Like, what? I don't think that they properly explained to her.
She's got, like, the mentality of a child.
Yeah.
Like, she just keeps saying things, you know, like, and then this happened, and then this happened, and that, and that's, like, that's a kid thing.
Yeah, it is. It is. Just the way that she, her thought process and the way that she thinks. So in June of 92, she pled guilty to one of the other murders. I'm keeping the victims' names out of here, mostly because I do have them written down, but I didn't want to...
I think out of respect, we should keep them. Out of respect,
I don't think we're probably going to mention a lot of victims' names on this podcast. I don't want to butcher their names. Like, one of them's a little questionable, and that would be just really rude if we're doing that. So...
rolling over in his grave. Yeah.
this little crappy.
It's pronounced Highland.
Got my name wrong. Oh gosh. So after she received her fifth death sentence, in the end she received six death sentences. No charges were brought on her for the guy that they never found. But she did admit to killing him as well. So I guess they just kind of glossed over that. They're like, we didn't find him, so it's fine, whatever.
How many? Yeah, well, let's get this show on.
Right,
show
six on the death road. Sentences are plenty enough to fry her, so let's just go from there. But yeah, for over sure. the years
I'm
and
tired.
Appeals, Eileen told different stories about the murders, going back and forth as to what actually happened, just like you said earlier. Actually, during an interview when she thought the cameras were off, Eileen said that they were all in self-defense, but she could not stand being on death row and wanted to die. So basically she said I killed everybody in self-defense, but I just want to die. So this was an interesting fact too. I had never heard of this. It's called the psychopathy checklist. The max score is 40. Eileen scored 32 out of 40 points, and this evaluates people on a 20 item list of antisocial and interpersonal behaviors. Scores above 25 are consistent with psychopathy. Just thought that was interesting that basically...
So she aced that freaking test.
She aced the psychopath test, basically. So she got a solid B minor.
IQ test, not so much, but she's got an A+ in psycho.
Yeah, for sure. I just thought that was cool. The psychopathy checklist.
That's totally cool.
After her first two appeals were denied, Eileen finally dismissed her legal counsel and terminated all pending appeals. She's done. She wants to die. She says, and I quote, "I killed those men. I robbed them cold as ice, and I'd do it again, too. There's no chance in keeping me alive or anything because I'd kill again. I have hate crawling through my system. I am so sick of hearing this she's crazy stuff. I've been evaluated so many times. I'm competent, sane, and I'm trying to tell the truth. I'm the one who seriously hates human life, and I would kill again." Wow.
I think a lot of those things are true.
I agree. I think so.
But she's also letting on because she hates it there. She's tired of being a spectacle of insanity, and she just wants to get it over with. She's like Mar from Sin City.
Just done. Done.
Mm-hmm.
Well... She was, her defense attorneys, they continued to claim that she was mentally ill and not competent, but she insisted she knew what she was doing, and the court-appointed psych team agreed with her. So, in 2002, Eileen was starting to be pushed off the edge completely. After years on death row, Eileen was extremely paranoid. She started accusing the prison staff of poisoning her food, putting urine, saliva, feces in there, saying they were trying to get her pushed over the brink, so she'd end up committing suicide before the execution, claiming they wanted to rape her, complaining of strip searches, low water pressure, mildew in the mattresses, catcalling. She really...
Low water pressure.
I made sure I put that in my notes because I found that to be pretty funny because If low water pressure is
torture, what are they trying to do to her?
We were tortured like our whole lives. I didn't know. Like, we need restitution for the low water pressure.
I've got it now.
I'm like, what is it? You know, this is used for elephants. Seinfeld, or like,
the showerhead 5,000 or something. Like
that. Yeah, that's what we got going on now. So we're good. But yeah, she just really thought that they were out to get her, and she believed that the prison personnel were actually pumping sonic pressure into her cell in an attempt to mind control her.
So, yeah. I heard her say that.
And there are just like a shit ton of documentaries out there too, guys. Like, there's a really good one on YouTube called Eileen Wuornos: Selling of a Serial Killer. And if just watch it for her public defender alone, because that guy is just like,
he's my favorite guy in the whole world.
He's like the most despicable piece of shit, but he is entertaining as hell. I wish
that I could have his thought process, because whatever it is, it's amazing. Because he is the worst person who's ever existed, and he's the happiest person who's ever existed.
I think he thinks he's the best person that's ever existed, which is, makes him happy. He's a wacko though, man. That definitely watch that. Selling of a Serial Killer. It's on YouTube. Really good. Shows a lot of her character. Shows that she was adopted by a 44-year-old woman when she was 35. Like, it's just crazy shit. Like, you think that you got everything down, and then you go down another rabbit hole, and there's just so much to this case. It's unbelievable. So,
yeah. Nothing.
Unfortunately, or fortunately, I don't know why I said unfortunately, her execution took place on October 9th, 2002 at 9:47 a.m. Now, this is sad to me. Her last meal could have been anything under $20, which I didn't know they really gave him a limit, which I guess that makes sense because, you know, some prick would order
lobster
and surf and turf and a bunch of shit. But all Eileen wanted was a cup of coffee. She declined her last meal. So... her last words.
Coffee's good. Especially if you're gonna, like, you need something light on your stomach.
I was thinking the same thing. You don't really want to go in there with a heavy, heavy meal. I don't know.
A whole lasagna by yourself. Jesus. The poor autopsy guy. It's like,
there's a whole Stouffer's lasagna in here. Oh, I'm laughing, and now her last words before being executed were,
"Yeah, okay, let's get this."
Yes, I would just like to say I'm sailing with the rock, and I'll be back, like Independence Day with Jesus, July 6th, like the movie. Excuse me, June 6th, like the movie. Big mothership and all. I'll be back. So, those are some last words.
Those are some, the original last words. I guarantee you no one has ever said
not like, tell so-and-so I love them, or I wish I had more time. It's, no, I'll be sailing with the rock.
With the moon and Jesus and the rock. Mothership. Me and Dwayne Johnson and Jesus are going to ride a mothership with Will Smith. It's going to be great.
She was the 10th woman to be executed in the United States and the 2nd in Florida, which I found a little shocking. I thought there would be a lot more women executed in Florida. Again, lovely state. Lovely state. Not saying anything about Florida.
Have you ever ventured down to Florida?
Briefly, but no. I'm good, man. I'm good. I don't, it's scary.
We hear all the things, you know, anybody who lives in any other state besides Florida all hears about these things that happen there, and we all know where it is.
It's Florida. There was this thing they were doing, it was like, Google your birthday plus Florida, man. And it was pretty hilarious. I don't remember what mine was. Something about a gator, you know. It's like another country. Got their own thing going on.
Sure.
eating really faces. Whatever.
So Eileen Wuornos. She may her soul rest in peace, and all the victims and all. I wish that none of this had to happen.
I completely agree. We got a lot of dead people here, and you know, I just wish.
I want to tell the audience that if you know somebody who's got schizophrenia, or if you have schizophrenia and you're not being treated, just go get some help. It's so easy. Just call somebody. Call the hospital. Call the doctor. They'll call anything. Call anybody. Yeah. Just get some help. Get it taken care of. Because untreated, this is what happens.
It's dangerous. And mental illness can be very dangerous. And you know, even if you're just depressed or anything, you please get help. It gets so much better. I mean, trust me. Trust.
Absolutely.
Trust us. We've dealt with it. You know, it's part of who we are, and getting help goes a long way to quality of life at the very least. So definitely.
Absolutely.
Definitely seek help. I think this is definitely a tale of just mental illness and a terrible home life and bad circumstances and wrong place at wrong time. So.
Nurture and nature busting heads.
Fucking fighting it out. And yeah, it's just not good. This is a bad situation, but that's Eileen. That's our first episode, man.
Yeah, dude.
So this podcast is going to be true crime, murder, mysteries, conspiracy theories, horror.
And we're going to dive into some other stuff, some things that you've never heard of, maybe don't have anything to do with killings, just something weird and bizarre, just weird stuff.
Basically just whatever the hell we feel like doing is what we're going to do.
Whatever the hell we want to do.
Then please keep listening. We'll come out with more episodes. Tell your friends. This is brand new. We're just starting this. We're very excited about it.
And we can keep doing it if you listen.
If you guys listen.
And I love doing this. This is fun.
We love talking to each other. We love talking about this stuff. We're kind of weird, you know. But
wouldn't mind getting a like.
Yeah, wouldn't that be something?
Or a subscription or a subscribe. Hit that notification button.
That would be awesome. That would be exciting. We'll get there. But if you listen this far, God bless you. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Hail Satan.
And I think that we can just go ahead and wrap it up. Lee, what do you think?
I say everybody be safe out there.
Yes, please be safe. It's crazy fucking times right now. This is we're recording this November 2020. So, you know.
We've been through a ringer.
We've been through the ringer. It's getting pretty scary. It's been scary for a few months now, but
we're all in this together, and we'll all get through this together.
Absolutely. We just got to stick together, be nice to each other. Don't be assholes.
Exactly.
Don't be a dick. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.